Okay, Chodesh Tov. See, we've got a problem here for Brucey, so I'll say the Chodesh Tov to the world today. And today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKedesh, Ir Shechubra La Yachdav. Look at that. So we're starting right at the top of the daf today. So we've managed to figure out how we know from the Pasuk, and we had a number of psukim that we were able to learn from. The Amoraim learned from the Limud from the Oma Ivriya. The Tanoim learned from the Natati Kesef HaSodeh, Kach Mimeni. And then we learned from Uva Allah, because it says Ki Yikach Yishisho Uva Allah, that there's a Kinyan Ivriya. Now the question is, we have not learned out Shtar. And the Mishnah said that Shtar is included. So how do we know that Shtar is one of the three modalities for being kain anisha? Well, first we could say that we don't even need a pasuk. Vidinu, uma kesev she'ein motzi machnis, shtar she'motzi ein odin she'machnis. I mean, look, you cannot get out of a marriage with kesev. Nonetheless, this kesev is good enough to create the relationship of marriage. Shtar is so powerful, it can even get you out of a kiddushin. So in odin shemachnis, so then it should definitely be able to do what the kesef can do. Well, not necessarily. Mala kesef, and kesef has a big advantage over a shtar. Because if you have kesef, you're paidable kehegdesh u'maiser sheni. So you're allowed to actually use that money and take off the kiddushin. That's the same sort of idea of taking off the kedusha of the kedushin, you know? So, I mean, that's the opposite of what we're looking for. But it's a very powerful thing. We're going to ask in a moment why we can't indeed use it to take off the kedushin. But kesev has a very powerful ability to buy things, because you can even buy egnet shemaiser sheni. But if you try to do that with a shtar, you're not able to be put by egnet shemaiser sheni, because the Torah specifies that it has to be in terms of the bekesef. So then you can't bring a raya from only kesef. So forget about the kal vachomer. You know how we know that you could be kena bishtar? This is the most fundamental of the limudim. V'yatza mibeto v'ayta b'yishacher. So how do we learn out the idea that it's possible to be kena from the fact that the Torah was makish yitzia to havaya, makish havaya li yitzia? So therefore, just like yitzia from a marriage can be achieved by shtar, so too is vayta li ishacher able to be achieved with a shtar. Well, so then why don't we do it in the other direction? Why don't we also say akish nami yitzia la havaya? We should do it the other way around too, and say just like you can be Mikadesh Anisha with money, so too should you be able to leave a woman and get out of the relationship with money. Because after all, the Torah says that the two kinyanim are the same. Omer Abaye, something that doesn't make sense to anybody, is not reasonable to say that that's what the Torah is coming to be makish. There has to be a basis that we can say that the Torah means to say something, but if everybody would look at you like you're crazy, then that's not a valid way to understand the Hekesh. I mean, the immediate reaction will be, Yomru, Kesef Machnis, Kesef Motzi. I understand. It makes sense that I should be able to give a wife money, say to her, with this money, you should not be my wife. Like, what does that mean? If kesef, I understand, that's the way that you're drawing her into a relationship, but it doesn't even register that that should be meaningful. I mean, saneger, yase, kateger, the very thing that does the best for you, this is your defense lawyer, suddenly turns into the prosecutor? It doesn't make sense. How can it both be the mekor of the kedushin and the destruction of the kedushin? I don't understand, says the Gemara. Why is that different than what we just did with the shtar? We said that the Torah is makish, the shtar, that is motzi, and it's also machnas. I mean, we should say that's crazy. Yomru, I mean, won't people look at you like you're nuts? Shtar motzi, shtar machnis. What are you going to say? That the kateger that dissolves kedushin should suddenly become the saneger that creates kedushin? No. Oh, come on. There's no comparison. A shtar defines itself by what it says. I mean, that's one, you know, one thing is a shtar, you know, if I'm writing a shtar for a loan, so that has something to do with the fact that I'm writing a shtar for a wedding. I mean, one shtar says, hareat muteret l'chol adam, and so on. And the other shtar says, hareat mekudeshet, please. So, just because both of them are on a piece of paper, that bothers you? I mean, mila da'ai shtar l'chud and mila da'ai shtar l'chud. Each one of them has a completely different textual content. So why is that unreasonable? I mean, it makes perfectly good sense. Here it's the same money. Well, it's not the same money. I understand. If a man takes the money and he says, with this money you shall be my wife. And okay, so then contextually the money is being machnis. And if he says, with this money you shall be on your own, so then he's giving it a different context. So high kaspel chud. That doesn't matter. But the modality is the same. The money is money. It's the same exact coinage. When you're talking about the shtar, it's a different object. The shtar that contains the word zareat mekudeshetli is not a shtar at all similar to a shtar that says hare at muteret l'chol adam. So obviously those are not the same. So there, I understand that the hekesh of v'yotza v'haita is a hekesh only in the direction to allow a shtar to be able to be machmis. Rava Amar. Rava says, look, there's no tzat to say that the Torah is comparing the yitziyah to avaya, and to say that you should be able to be megarish a woman by giving her money. It says beferish in the pasuk, v'hayoyim lo timtza chen be'inav, Vikatavla. So let's say Vikatavla, because that's the only way to do it. It requires ktiva. Bichtiva midgareshet, but ena midgareshet bekesef. There's an entirely new idea over here of writing to her the Sefer Kritut. Well, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe what the words mean, Vikatavla Sefer Kritut, is to tell me she could only be midgareshet through ktiva, but you cannot be mekadeshet b'ktiva. Maybe that's the way to look at it. I mean, it's all very nice. You made up your mind in advance that, yes, we have three types of ways to take a woman. And one of the ways we learn out is because since you can be megarish, the Torah compares one to the other. And then when I ask you, so then you should also be able to be megarish or b'kesef. No, the pasuk says b'ktiva. But maybe the words b'ktiva means you can only utilize k'tiva to be vishilchami beito, but you cannot utilize k'tiva to be a shtar, to be a machnisala beito. So then you end up with the opposite results, utilizing exactly the same words. I mean, so like, where'd you pull the rabbit out of the hat over here? How did you know which way to go? What do you mean, how did I know? It says v'yatzavaita. That's makish havaya liyatzia. Didn't you say that? I'm asking you, Maraita, I'm asking you what makes you make up your mind that that's the only way to look at it. No, I'm explaining to you. Because, look, what is the topic here? The topic of this entire pasuk is that if you don't like her, so then that means that we are dealing with the dinim of gerushin. So if I'm dealing with the dinim of gerushin, and I'm telling you the katavla, that that's the way to do it. So what do you think that that's coming to tell me? You have a choice. This is the way to do gerushin, but you can't do gerushin with money. Or the opposite. You can actually do gerushin this way, but you can't do kiddushin this way. Why the heck would I think about kiddushin if I'm being osik in gerushin? Obviously, if the Torah is telling me, here's the way to be megarish, only. So what does the only mean? Only this way can be megarish. Not only writing can be megarish, but not machnis. the topic here is not about writing. The topic is about Gershon. So Mistavra Koy BeGershon, Mamai BeGershon, if we're talking about Gershon, so then we are excluding a particular type of din of Gershon, namely, don't try any other way to be Megarish. I mean, what do you suggest? Koy BeGershon, Mamai Kedushin? I mean, like, why would we be thinking about Kedushin here? So must be. Now, the Katavla is Dafke Biktiva, meaning that's the only way that you can be Megarish. But we still have the open hekesh to tell me that that ketiva is also a way in which you're going to be makadish, because it says v'yatzav ha'ita. Okay. Now, what about according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Remember, Rabbi Yossi Aglili understood the idea of a ketiva sefer kritut, that you cannot write on something that's alive. Remember, we had that back in Gittin. So he doesn't have this available because he takes the pasuk to tell me this is the only type of ktiva and not on, let's say, a living eved or pora or a leaf that's attached to a vine with the case that we had over there. So then he can't use this pasuk to tell me that you do not utilize a kesev for a gerishin. So how does he know that? Sheinamit gereshit pekesev minole. I mean, obviously, you could still say a bias answer, but it doesn't seem to add up that the same kind of thing that is motzi, is machnis, and so on. Yes, but we're going here according to Rava. So what about according to the way Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns it? Ah, we have another pasuk, remember? Sefer Kritut, not from the Katavla, but from Sefer Kritut. That comes to tell us only a Sefer is Korta, nothing else is Korta. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we can use both things. The Katavla tells me that I speak Tiva on something that's not alive. And Sefer Kritut comes to tell me there's only one way to divorce a woman, and that is with a book, so to speak, with the narrative. Hey, you know, that is a pretty good deal, Sefer Kritut. So what am I going to do with that? They learn from the Katavla that you can't do a divorce with Kesev. So what do they do with this Sefer Kritut? Don't you remember? We learned that in Gittin. They learned from that you need to have a Dover HaKoreit Beino Levina. So it needs to be an absolute separation, and as long as there's strings attached of any kind, it's not an absolute separation. That was a tremendously important diak that we had back there. And it's not coming to teach me the din of the sefer. It's coming to teach me the din of the gerishin, that the sefer that you're giving cannot have strings attached. So for instance, like we had in the brisa, somebody gives a woman a get on condition that she's never going to drink wine or she's not going to go to her father's home. If he says never, then that's not a sefer kritut because it is not an absolute relinquishment of the relationship. He's always defining her life. And she's asking, just let go already, enough. Stop with your control. Okay, so if there's no kritut of that control, then there's no gerishin. If he says for 30 days or whatever, some kind of time limit, so then hareze kritut. That's a very important limud. As a matter of fact, how in the world could Rabbi Yossi Aglili forego that important limud and use the word kritut to tell me this idea that you can't use kesev? That doesn't make any sense. The most important limud is the fact that it has to be a dover akoreit completely, no? Yes, of course, Rabbi Yossi does use it for that. But he says that the word sefer kritut, he says that is a double limud because it could have just written sefer karet. And instead it says kritut. So then that means that there's two different dinim that we can learn from there. V'rabbanan, karet kritut lo mashmalahu. They don't see the option of writing sefer karet, which is not the way the Torah would normally have written. That's not an additional drasha. Okay, so now let's just review in our minds. What did we just go through? We went through every last one of the three kinyanim, and with every last one we asked, why can't we utilize something that we already know and let's learn it out from a Kal V'chomer from the other one, right? So we then explained, well, you can't do that. So each one we thought, okay, why can't we learn it out from A? Why can't we learn it out from B? And we explained why we can't. Not only that, But in doing so, remember, we also managed to bring out very powerfully the way that the interrelationship of these various kinyonim goes, because we talked about something that works for yiva. We talked about something that works to exit yiva. We talked about something that works for an oma ivriya. We talked about something that works to exit an oma ivriya. We talked about something that works for erison. And we talked about something that works for chuppah. I mean, these were all very interrelated dinim, which brought in the concept of oma, and which brought in the relationship bichlal of avdus and odain into this. As we pointed out, this is the reason that we have the whole discussion in this perek of the relationship of various kinyonim overall, and how they would, in fact, impact your asiyas hamitzvahs, because they, here we're talking about strange kinyonim, which put you into a relationship in which you owe another human being something, and then what do you do about the mitzvahs that you owe Hashem? I understand all of that. And we've shown that each one of them needs to have a unique basis, and that we wouldn't be able to learn any one of these out of any one of the others, right? So we needed to have a separate, remember we went through the great agony, Talmud Lomar Ki, then we have, why did we need Talmud Lomar? I thought we could learn it from Yevomer. I thought we could learn it from Oma. And each one of them, the Tana was coming to say, no, it's not the same at all. Okay, so it's not the same at all. But remember that we have an alternative. Wherever we have more than one thing, if we can make a common denominator, then we should be able to derive another thing. Now, I'm thinking that some of the issues that we raised, and we said you wouldn't be able to learn one from one, maybe if we had two out of the three, we would be able to derive the third. And then I can ask you, so why would we need the pasuk for the third? So let's look at that. Okay, you explained very well to me that you cannot learn out one from the other. So if I asked you, okay, if Biyaz Machlis or Kesef should certainly know, we said that's different, but let's take two. So, okay, Tesei Chadim Yitarte. So, okay, give me an example. Which one would you like me to learn? I'll show you why we can't do it. Eichi Tesei. All right, let's try learning Shtar out of Kesef and Biya. What do you think about that? Lo lichtov rachmana b'shtar. And we'll say, well, if Kesef and Biya are able to create Kedushin, and they are a definite type of Kenyan, and Shtar we know is a type of Kenyan in other places, so then we should be able to learn out from the other two. We have Kesef and we have Biya, so therefore we should have Shtar. No. Given Kesef and Biya, I cannot derive Shtar, because there's a common denominator. Not the common denominator being that they're both Kenyanim. The common denominator is that they both give you tremendous pleasure. You love to have your bank account grow, and you love sex, so why would they be kaina? Because that's the common denominator. Things that make a woman feel that she's getting something that she enjoys, that creates kedusha. Why would a cold document, I mean, maybe for Litvax that would be okay, but certainly for Hasidim you're going to be able to use a cold document? No way. So malahana shekein hana atan meruba? So you can't do that. Okay, fine. All right, I hear. So let the Torah not write bia. And then I would say, look, let's put together the kesev and the shtar, and we'll say, we know that bia is definitely kona elsewhere, so therefore, since it is a kinyan, so it should be able to be kina the same way that those, because what are you going to say? Whatever you taina, you'll be able to say, the other one proves it. So you'll say what? You'll say that, well, I mean, over there we can talk about, you know, it's kina by X. Okay, so then the other one will prove it. I mean, it seems to be perfectly good. No, it's not. There's a common denominator. What's the common denominator between Shtar? What do you mean the common denominator is? They are kinyonim that are extremely broad. I can use either Kesef or Shtar to be going to Karka. I can use it to be going to Avodim. Now, I can use it You know, I mean, I certainly cannot use sex to become a karka, can I? I mean, so it's very, very limited. So obviously, I won't be able to learn it from them. Okay, fine. So then why did we need a pasuk for kesev? Put together kesev, put together shtar and bia. That certainly should yield kesev. No? I'll tell you why not. And here is a very fascinating interrelationship. You'll notice that malahanach shekein yeshnan ba'al korcha. These kinyonim may be more effective because we find them usable even where they're not creating a relationship that's based on willingness. So let's say you have a yavama. Bia of a yavama is kena ba'al korcha. Well, so then that doesn't make sense that it should be used for a woman to bring into a marriage. So you'll say what? Okay, so let's take a look at shtar. Where's shtar bar korcha? Not true. Shtar is also bar korcha. Because since it does provide the kinyan of herself in gittin, okay, so you can't derive anything that cannot be done bar korcha. Kesef cannot be done bal korcha. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, yes, it can. V'chitem a kesef nami bal korcha ba'oma ivriya. You're going to say, a father can sell his daughter even bal korcha. Okay, but be'ishut lo ashkechinan, we don't find bal korcha that has something to do with a relationship. Right? It's just to buy the rights to work. But where do we find anything that has to do with marriage? There we don't find that it should be Baal Korcha. So therefore, you cannot learn any one of the three from any two of the three. Now this idea about Baal Korcha, we're going to be talking about in a moment, because Rashi says over here that the Bia by the Yavama is Baal Korcha, Shtar by Gerishin is Baal Korcha, and the Kesev Ba'oma Ivriya is Baal Korcha, and that's going to be important for us in a moment. We're going to have to go back and look at this Taina of Kesev Baal Korcha Ba'oma Ivriya when we look at the next possibility. So we've spoken about the three Kinyanim. These three Kinyanim, none of them can be learned from any of the other two. But put all three together, and we should be able to learn a fourth kinyan. And what is that? That is the question that we raised at the very beginning when we thought about this idea. And it's, in fact, according to Rav Huna, it's the halacha. Omer Rav Huna, chupa kona b'kal v'chomer. If you just take her to the chupa, then that is also a kinyan for erusin. What's the kal v'chomer? Well, if kesev, let's say you actually go ahead and you make a kedushin with kesev, it's not really complete, is it? I mean, she's not allowed to eat truma yet, can she? So then if that's the case, if I want, there's a question over here a little bit about what Rav Huna means. Does he mean that it's possible, according to Rav Huna, that if you want to do only kedusha with a chuppah, you could make her an arusa with a chuppah? Or does it mean that there's no way, according to Rav Huna, that it would be just kedusha? But it certainly would incorporate the kedusha. So I'll bring you a kal v'chomer. If kesev, which is kosher for kedusha, is not able to allow her to eat truma yet, and nonetheless, it's a perfectly good thing to give her a din of an eshes ish. Chupa shema chelek betruma eino din shetikne. So the dinim of a chupa, which does allow her to eat once she's nisua, if she's married to a kohen, she's able to eat the kohen's truma. So then koshikain, it should be itself a source for giving her the din of eshes ish. So like this, we learn there's separate issues. If we're going to be talking about marriage in terms of a relationship that allows a kohen to become tamei, marriage in terms of a relationship that allows Yerusha, marriage that allows for him to take the money that she earns, and so on and so forth. That has to do with the relationship of chuppah. But the concept of marriage as being kedushin and ossering her on everybody else, and therefore anybody who sleeps with her would be chayav misa, that's not the chuppah. The whole point is that the chuppah requires this entire new idea of ki yikach ish isha, right? But Rav Huna is saying, no, that's not right. The chuppah, you're right, does have that special relationship that it's post-kedushin. But what if you didn't make it post-kedushin? What if you took her into your home for the specific purposes of kedushin? That should work to make her an ashes ish mikudeshet asura l'cholalam kulei. Why? Because it is kal v'chomer. Says the Gemara, this is not a kal v'chomer. This is ridiculous. If a person gives a woman money and he's a Kohen, then as far as the Torah is concerned, she can certainly eat his truma. Don't you know? It says kinyan kaspo. And if he gave her kedushin, is she not kinyan kaspo? So fine. So kesevenu ma'achio. Ha'omar ula, as far as the Torah is concerned, the moment that you were mekadesh a woman, arusa, even though she's a bat Yisrael, not a bat Kohen, she is at that very moment allowed to eat truma. It says beferish in the pasuk, the kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. Well, she is kinyan kaspo. So, that's a given. The only reason that we don't allow, that's a derabbanan, we don't allow her to eat as an arusa. You remember that problem? That problem was the Coke bottle in the fridge. That since she buys truma Coke from her husband, she puts it in the fridge, and now her kid brother is going to come and drink up her Coke. So we're going to be exposing now people to truma, and they're going to eat truma, and be chayav misa b'dei shamayim, gezeira shamayim zulga kos b'beit avia. So all the kids in the house are going to be eating now truma? Get out of here. And then we had the other question that we're choshesh, maybe in the end, when he takes her, it'll turn out that she has a mum, and then, okay, what happens to machlokas? But in any event, according to Ula, the point is that definitely you cannot make a kavachomer of something that isn't true. You say, well, after all, the kesev is not enough to be gomer to eat truma. Yes, it is. So sorry. Let's get rid of that. Okay. The kavakomer goes like this. We made a mistake. Prichach. This is the way to look at it. Uma kesef she'eno gomer. Koneh. Kesef certainly does not provide for the complete din of nisuin, right? So it wouldn't make any difference. If I gave you money and I said, areyat nisuali, that's going to help me to be able to be zocha to Yerusha. Is that going to help me as a kohen to be able to go to your funeral? Is that going to help me to be able to get rights to all of your things and so on? It's ridiculous. The only way to get those rights is by going to the chuppah. And nonetheless, it is definitely that money, which will not give you any of those further rights, will be able to create the relationship of kedushin and turn her into an ashes ish and so on. So if that's the case, then chuppah, which does do all of that, chuppah does give you the rights to be yorisher. Chuppah does give the kohen rights to go to her funeral and so on and so forth. So obviously it is going to be effective to define her as mekudeshet. So if you want to use the chuppah as the kedushin, then it should be perfectly useful as a fourth kinyan for kedushin. And this would be Rav Huna Svara. Well, I mean, can't I say that that's different because kesef is paid in bohekdeshes and maisa sheni? Didn't we talk about why we can't learn that out? Yes, we did. That kesef is stronger. But we know that bia achieves kedushin. I'd like to see you be paid in kekdesh and maisa sheni with bia. That'd be quite a trick. So obviously that's not the point. Remember, we're doing a mahatzad now. We've got all these three to learn from. So if we can find a common denominator with these three, we'd be able to learn out chuppah. So bia tochiyah, And therefore, obviously, the question of being able to be pay the miser, and that's not important. Ah, but Bia. Bia is very important because maybe it's different. It is kaina, even a yavama. Okay, so kesev yochiyak. So now, could kesev be kona yavama? No. Because radin. So now we're going to do the ma'atzat. Lori zekri zeh, lori zekri zeh, that sad hashrava shebehem is that they are kinyonim. In general, I'm able to use kesef to buy an ama ivriya. I'm able to use bia to be able to be kinyon mayavoma. That sad hashrava is those things which serve as a proper kinyon elsewhere, serve as a proper kinyon for kan, for kedushin. Afani yavi chupa. We see that chupa is a general kinyan in other terms for the rights of Yerusha, let's say, and therefore for sure it should also be kinyan kan. Why not? So you're right. It's not a kal v'chomer. It's now a ma'atzat. No, there's a big difference. Money and bia are both pleasures. So ma'atzat ha'sheva shebehen shekinan ha'atam ruba. There's no pleasure in going to under a chupa. Let me tell you. But there definitely is pleasure involved in kesev and mia, and we said before that that's a valid common denominator. Ah, okay, but now we can use shtar, because now we have all of them, right? Okay, so shtar is also no fun, and that means that fun is not the point. Yeah, but shtar, I mean, achieves even gerushin, right? Okay, so kesev and mia prove that that's not a valid important issue over here, because it's not part of the common denominator. You cannot use kesev and bia for gerushin. So therefore, putting them all together, put them all together, lori zekri zeh, whatever it is that you ask, will show you that the other two, or one other, is going to prove to you that that's not a problem. Great. So what's the tzad hashava? The tzad hashava is that anything that is used as a kinyan in some other area, whatever it's for, is kenekan. Well, each one of these is as a kinyan elsewhere. So chuppah is kena elsewhere in terms of, say, Yerusha. So it's kenekan too. Afani avi chuppah shekona be'alma v'konekan. Says the Gemara, no, because I can find a common denominator for all three. That's the problem. And the common denominator for all three is the fact that they can be achieved ba'al korcha. Masha inkein, we never find a chuppah can be done ba'al korcha. Now, let's try to analyze this. Where exactly do we find that all of the three kinyonim are somewhere utilized ba'al korcha? Now, this is a marvelous opportunity to interrelate all of the various kinyonim with all of the various places where they occur. So you're going to talk about Yibun, you're talking about Ishus, you're talking about Ama Ivriya. Now you have to expand yourself a little bit because Ama Ivriya includes Yi'ud. Remember what Yi'ud is. Im lo Ya'ada ve'evda. What's Ya'ada? So if the buyer of an Ama Ivriya decides that he wants to take that Ama Ivriya as a wife, he can say, you are my wife based on the money that I paid for you to your father originally. Okay, so now let's analyze the various cases. So Rashi says, Bia, this is Baal Korcha, we had that all through Yavamas. The Yavama doesn't want it, it doesn't matter, that's the only way that you're Kaina, and you're therefore Kaina even Baal Korcha. Shtar, woman doesn't want to get divorced, you can divorce her Baal Korcha. Also, very fundamental idea. The reason that you can give a shtar to a katana of gerushin. Where exactly do we find kesef Baal Korcha? So Rashi understands that kesef Baal Korcha is the fact that a woman can be sold by her father's accepting the money. And that is considered to be Baal Korcha. Now that is something of a problem, Taina Zerubinuta. Because as we're going to see, Rav Huna himself points out that there is no place in Ishus, in Baal Korcha. Let's take a look at that, because if that's true, then we've got a serious problem. A father can also accept money for his daughter Bal Korcha to be married. So then that means Kesev is Bal Korcha. So let's continue a little bit to see why Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's Limud. You're telling me that the Ksana Shava Shavahen is what? Yeshlan Bal Korcha. So therefore, Rav Huna, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Even given all three of the kinyonim, I cannot add with a mahat sad, I cannot add a fourth, namely chuppah. What is Rav Huna's response to that? Rav Huna's response to that is, that's all very nice, but when it comes to marriage, be'ishut lo ashkechan bal korcha, so therefore the obvious question is, it's a beautiful question. If you're telling me that the father accepting something, money, is considered to be Bal Korcha vis-a-vis the child, so then it is Bal Korcha, because the father can also accept the Kiddushin money, Bal Korcha. So why is Rav Huna saying, no, but when it comes to marriage, it's exactly the same. The father can accept the money of the Oma Ivriya. The father can accept the money of the Kiddushin Tainus Tosfos. So then that means both of them are Bal Korcha. Therefore, Tainus the Rabbeinu Tam, that the point over here is that if the father is the one who is accepting the money in place of the daughter, that's not called Bar Korcha, because he's the one who has the rights and he's the one who's achieving the kinyan, not Bal Korcha. So where is the kinyan being done, Bal Korcha? Something's wrong with Rashi's entire approach, Tainus the Rabbeinu Tam. Therefore, the meaning of the Gemara that's saying that we have Kesev Bal Korcha by an Oma Ivriya is talking about Yi'ud. Let's imagine a case like this. A father accepts money for the Amhus of his daughter. Now, a year later, comes along the buyer, and he says, you know, I've really gotten to admire your daughter, and I'm going to be marrying her. I don't want you as a son-in-law. Yeah, well, tough. So then it's Bal Korcha. The girl is saying, I don't want you for a husband. The father is saying, I don't want you for a son-in-law. And nonetheless, the Odin can turn around and say, sorry, but I already gave the money, and the Torah says that that money can be used for Yiud. So I'm using it for Yiud. So we do have Bal Korcha. So therefore, there is considered to be Bal Korcha Ba'am Ivriya. The obvious problem is, so then according to Tosfos, why does the Rav Huna say that Kesev, and you don't find by Yishus, you do find it by Yishus, right? Because we do find the idea over here of Yi'ud, which is Yishus. So then he seems to be undoing his own explanation. So why would he say that it's not considered to be Isha's Bal Korcha? So he gives a sort of weak answer. Tosfos says, look, the Kesev initially is not given for Isha's. And therefore you can't say that we find Kesev given for Isha's Bal Korcha. But we do have Yi'ud, which is an overall plus, an extra level of koach that the Odin has in the Oma Ivriya in terms of the Oma, but not the Ishus. Now, Tosfos says the truth is that there are those who give a very good explanation for Rashi, because the understanding of Bal Korcha is fundamentally different when we're talking about the Oma versus the Ishus. And the idea of Rashi's approach is that it's Bal Korcha being sold as an Oma is definitely not something that if this girl would have had the rights to her own das, okay, she's a ketana, but if she would have had a right to her own das, then she certainly would have said, I don't want to be an Oma, and therefore she would have rejected it. Masha'en came to call it Bal Korcha, that the father is Mekabel Kedushin, when ultimately that is what she is going to want, and there's going to come a time when she's, you know, talking to Shatranim, listen, this, I'm getting older already, I'm already 14, 15, what's going to be with my... Okay, so that's not called Bal Korcha. So the idea over here is the same concept of Zachin Ladam Shelo B'fanav. Can you accept something which is a schus for a person? Yes. But can you accept something which is not bal kocha? No. So it's similar to that type of idea. Perhaps that's what Rashi means. But in any event, clearly the idea of Rav Huna is that there's no problem of asking bal kocha, because fundamentally bal kocha does not occur by the ishus, even though the father's mekabel kedushin. Okay. Anyway, this is the bottom line. Rav Huna holds that we have four different levels of kedushin, even though the Mishnah says we only have three. And we learn this out from the complex interaction between a Yavama and an Amma Ivriya and Yiyud and divorce and marriage. All of the concepts where we've been dealing with from the beginning, continuing along with the question of whether you could be Kenyan Karka and the different modalities of Kenyan Kesev and Shtar and the issue of whether we would be able to learn out beyond. So every last issue has now been seen to be part of a holistic understanding of these various Kenyanim in this attempt to increase the number of Kedushins from three to four, which is our immediate next point. As Rava points out, and we know we can always count on Rava to ask the obvious language problem. I got two problems with this. I just read a Mishnah that says, Aisha nikneis bishalosh drachim. And you're saying there's arba drachim. So last I heard, I trust Mishnahs over Rav Huna. See you later, alligator. So this is, of course, the way that Rava would point it out, right? So that's my first very serious problem with your approach. This is Rava always does this. It's a brilliant idea, except for the unfortunate fact that it's not true. And it says Beferish not like that. But I've got another problem also. The Ode, I've got another powerful problem. And that is, I don't understand what you're talking about, Ravuna. How is a chuppah gomer? If somebody just takes a woman to a chuppah, is he yorisher? No. The chuppah is gomer because first we had kedushin. Isn't that true? So unless you gave her that ring before, the chuppah doesn't do anything. What are you going to do? Let's entice her into my home? It's not going to do anything. And even if she agrees, what's that going to do? So, kulum chuppah gomeret ela ayadei kedushin. The only point is that you already did the kedushin. So now you're going to say, so therefore I'm going to learn out that if chuppah is a Kenyan all over, it should certainly be a Kenyan kedushin. What are you talking about? Chuppah is not a Kenyan unless you first had kedushin. So now take a look at the sophistry. You're going to use the fact that chuppah is a Kenyan after kedushin to prove that chuppah itself can take the place of kedushin. No way. That doesn't make any sense. How can you learn that? How could you possibly derive more than what it is that you knew? You can't learn out the chuppah after kedushin to be a basis for chuppah without kedushin. Omele Abaye, well, I'm not so impressed with your two problems, Rava. First of all, hadakamet shalosh tnan, the arba lo tnan. Your first question is, it says three, not four. Yeah, but maybe the point is, it says three, what it means are, there are three kinyanim mentioned or hinted at in the Torah. That's all that it means. It doesn't mean there are only three. If you have a kal vachomer to include another one, fine. I don't care. Maybe there's 100. The Mishnah's not coming to talk about the sum total of kinyanim. It's talking about what did the Torah say about the Kenyan of Venetia. Maybe that's what it means. So maybe Tana milta de ktiva behedya katani, milta de lo ktiva behedya lo katani. Only things that I see directly in the Torah. That's possible. And your other question, where you raise the issue of, well, look, chuppah zone gomeret ayadei kedushin, you can utilize that as part of the kal vachomer. And that's what Rav Huna is doing. Rav Huna is taking that into consideration in the limud. So Rav Huna nami hachi kama. Uma kesev she'eno gomer, even though you already gave kesev before. So you can't say, okay, I was already mekadesh you areyat mekudeshetli. Can kesev now, if you give her more money and say, now I'm going to give you more money so that areyat nisuali, without taking her to the chuppah? No. you're still not going to be able to be kind of this chus to Yerusha and so on and so forth. So there's no nisuin that can be achieved by. So he's including that information, don't you see? So if Kesev is not Gomer, even after Kesev, nonetheless it is Kena in order to make the original Kiddushin. Chuppah, which is Gomer at Acher Kesev, it should certainly be able to make the original Kiddushin of turning her into an Eishes Ish through Kiddushin, right? Now, the obvious problem with this, as Tosis points out, is no, not right, because we have a concept of Dio. And remember that Dio is a fundamental problem, the Kavachomer. You cannot get out more information than you put in. The only information that you put in was, your proof of concept was, Chuppah is Gomer, but Chuppah is only Gomer Acher Kesev. So now, what you're doing is a classic, horrific Dio. You're running around in circles. Let me put in this information. Chuppah is Kena after Kesev. Now I'm going to get out the information that Chuppah should be Kena even without Kesev. But the information should have limited it. Says Tosfos, the Gemara is taking for granted the Yesod of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon's Yesod is, remember, that the only time that we consider Dio to be fatal is where I would utilize the Kal Vachomer to a certain extent, and I'm trying to overutilize the Kal Vachomer to get more information than I should. That's when we say Dio. But in the event that the entire relationship of the two issues is defined by a Kula Vachomer, and if I apply the concept of Dio, then that Kula Vachumra becomes irrelevant because I can't learn anything out of it. So that's a klal, which is should be a gavi klal. Hecha de mefrechinan lekavachomer lo amrinan Dio. If it would mean the destruction of the entire basis of the interrelationship of Kula Vachumra, that is not included in the concept of Dio at all. And therefore, over here, it's not that I'm taking out more information than a Kal Vachomer yields. It's the only information that the Kal Vachomer yields. And therefore, I have a right to utilize it. That's what Abaya is telling. Okay. Now, we understand the interrelationship of all of these various kinyanim in all of their various places and in all of their various modalities. Quite amazing what we've done just in the space of these four da'afim mamish. So we are now much more aware of what we were before, of the intricacies that need to be taken into consideration of the interrelationships of ways to achieve kinyanim. This, we even involved this in the question of pidyon and of chalitza for a yavama, for an ama ivria, for a wedding of a woman that was taken as an ama ivria, for the Kabbalah's Kedushin of a father, for the rights to the Kedushin of the father, for the difference of a nara and the rights of a father in terms of the nara, for the way in which Bia would possibly be Kena, even as a original gateway to marriage, and so on and so forth. Now, it's time for us to talk about each one of these kinyanim in terms of how precisely are they done. When we talk about Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, so what would need to be involved? Remember, we need to worry about testimony. Without testimony, we don't have Yakum Navar. Do witnesses have to see them having sex together? When you talk about the Shtar, do you need to say something when you give the Shtar, or does the Shtar speak for itself entirely? When you give that money, does something need to be said? Would it be clear if I know what it's all about that I don't even have to say Areyat Mikudeshetli? All of these questions we're going to need to go through with each one of the kinyanim and see what precisely we mean by this kinyan. So let's start at the top. Kesef, Shtar, Ubebiyah. Kesef. Ten Rabbanan, how do you achieve a kinyan with Kesef? Well, he can give her kesef, or he can give her a ring for that matter, or shava kesef, and he has to say at that time, areyat mekudeshetli, or he could say areyat meuresetli, Or he could say, you are my dear wife, areat le'intu, which would cover the idea of mikudeshet in Aramaic. Any of these languages, they're all mikudeshet. But what about if she gives him money, or she gives him a ring, and she says, I am mikudeshet to you, I am ureset to you, I am your wife? That is meaningless. Ena mikudeshet. It says, yikach ish isha, and not that the woman should make herself a wife to a man. Mati flor of papa. This, don't you see that you've just contradicted yourself? For heaven's sakes, listen to what you just said, and you completely said two opposite things. You first, you say, the actual case is that he has to give the kedushin, and he has to say that areyat mekudeshet. Okay? So what does that mean? That if either of those things are missing, let's say he gives money and she says, I am your wife. No good. No good? It says over here, it's no good only because both. Because he didn't both give and say. But suppose he did give. And suppose she said, what would be the din over there? So time of the Natan Huvama, the only way that it's good is if both of these things are true. But if either of them aren't true, then she's not Mekudeshet. So even though he gave the money, and he was Mekayim the Pasuk Yikachish, because the Yikach is with the Kesef, it's my money, I gave him the money. But the speech is part of the Lekicha, that's what you're claiming. Then read on, my dear friends, because you just say the exact opposite in the next line. Ema Seifa. What did you say afterwards? What you said is that in the case where she gave the money and she said, then you're not Mekudeshet. Okay, so what does that imply? That if he gave the money and she said, she is Mekudeshet. Wait, how about making up your mind? Do we view the statement as being part of the Ki Yikach Ish? Or is the statement just something that puts things into context? And it's not part of the Etzem Lekicha. Because here it's saying that if he gave the money and Amrahi, that it would be Kedushin. Which one is true? Well, the opening statement is true. Reisha is Dafka. The only reason we put it this way in the Seifa is the extreme distinction of if she both gave the money and spoke, and then it's not good. That was because we're trying to keep the Mishnah parallel, you know? So we made it sound the same. What? That is insane. We don't keep a Mishnah parallel to make it contradict itself. We keep a Mishnah parallel where maybe you want to say something that didn't need saying. So over there we say, okay, to keep the Mishnah parallel. So we stated something that would have been obvious. But we're certainly not going to say the opposite. I mean, this makes no sense. Tani Seifa Milta de Satra Le Laresha? You're going to contradict yourself at the end in order to keep things parallel? That's nuts. Elohi Kama. Therefore, the way to understand the Braita over here is like this. If he gave the money and he said, then obviously that's Kedusha, because it covers all elements of Ki Yikach Ish, the Lekicha of the cash and the Lekicha of the context. He did the whole thing. So that's for sure Kedusha. If Natan Hu, however, if he only gave the money and she spoke, then you know what that's like? That's like Kamisha Natna Hiva Amrahi. You understand that if she gave the money and she spoke, it would be ridiculous? Well, that's basically what happened over here. Your only option is for him to do both of the Nesina and the speaking of the Lekicha. So sometimes a Mishnah will say is Naase Kemi. This is one of those examples. You might as well go all the way to the other extreme, because if it isn't this, it boils down to this. That's a way of constructing Mishnahs and Braisas sometimes. So that's one possibility. Or, I'll tell you another possibility. Maybe it's like this. Ibaitema, we could say like this. If he was Natan, and he was Amar, that's Mekudeshes. If she was Natna, and she was Amra, then Eina Mekudeshes. But, what about if he gave the money, and she spoke? Now that's a Sveika. We're not sure about that Sveika. And we would have to be Chayshesh, Minarabanan, that maybe there's this condition, and therefore if she accepted, let's say, Kedusha for someone else, then that would also be a Kedusha, and then she would need a get from both of them, because we're not sure whether she is considered to be married or not. So we can't be absolutely certain one way or the other. Now, obviously, we've got an issue over here, which is the question of the chazaka, that she was becheskas apsula before. And we have another issue. The other issue is, if you have a suffix, and it's a suffix d'oraisa, so then we paskin l'chumra. If we paskin l'chumra, then that means that she's mekudeshet m'd'oraisa. Unless, of course, you learn like the Rambam, that paskining l'chumra on a d'oraisa is itself a d'rabbana. In which case, it would only be a chashina d'rabbanan, because the Torah never says you have to go l'chumra if you have a sveika, right? Okay, so this is a very fascinating discussion among the Rishonim about whether chashinan is really only d'rabbanan, or whether it really should just say it's a sveikahi. Now, the question is it sveikahi, or is it chashina d'rabbanan? Because, I mean, the Ran does not seem to have had the gears of Sveikahi at all. He only has Chashinan min Rabbanan. And therefore, his question is, why isn't it Sveikahi? Okay, in any event, the Ran is the one who puts the issue of Chazaka to the test over here. Because if she was a Cheskas Pnuya, and she was allowed to be married to anybody, unless you can prove that that Chazaka changed, so then we wouldn't go l'chumra, because we always paskin according to the chazaka. So it should be a kula. Afal piken chashina min rabbanan, because the rabbanan wanted people to be sensitive to the possibility of kedushin here. All right, but as you can see, zolok kach pashut. The Rambam paskins, it's a suffix. All righty. Omar Shmuel. I would like to do this last piece of Omar Shmuel, but since we just had the sugya of Bal Korcho, and the question is whether Daf Yomi is Bal Korcho, but the Shaila is, since Hanoah Sal Meruba, so maybe over there we could actually learn it out from the other Kenyanim, so there wouldn't be considered to be Bal Korcho. It's probably, it's a Chazaka, like the Ran says, that people want to learn Daf Yomi, and we're in the middle of learning the Daf Yomi, so if we stop, then we're violating the Chazaka. And there's lots of other issues over here. Maybe I better ask, just in case, Can I get a thumbs up for more time, or are we running out of time in your life over here?
Yehonavi doesn't come Erev Shabbos.
Huh?
Yehonavi doesn't come Erev.
Okay. So everybody's ready to let me get away with murder? All right, thanks. So let's continue. So now we've got a little bit of a related issue. This is not a completely different thing, because it's even saying the same lashon of the Brayta. Amar Shmuel, Bekedushin. Now, if you're talking about Kedushin, as opposed to Gerushin, that's why we say Bekedushin. Bekedushin is opposed to Gerushin. If he gives her money, or a ring, and he says to Areat Mekudashet, Areat Mureset, Areat Into, that is good as a Kedushin. Take out the word Li Into. So in all of these cases, it's a little weird, because he gives her money and he says, you are Mekudashet. Mekudashet to whom? I mean, maybe he's giving money for somebody else. I don't know. Okay, so this is a little bit of an issue now, which we're going to talk about. But if he said, I am your husband, I am a sheikh balei charuseich, that is completely meaningless, because there is no concept of making yourself a husband. You need to make someone your wife. That's ki yikach ish isha. Now, the same thing is true in the inverse, in gerushin. If he gives a get that says the get, and he says to her, "Hareat mishulachat, hareat megureshet, hareat muter tochal adam," that's great. But suppose he gives her a divorce, but he says, "Eini ishech, eini balech, eini arusech," that is a joke. That is bichlal not a get, because it says vishilcha mibeto, not vishilacha tatzmo. Here he's sending himself away. I am not your husband. Who says? What are you talking about? So there was no vishilcha mibeto. But the part that you said before, you said hareat mekudeshet, and you never said to who you're mekudeshet. How does that work? Omele Rav Papa Labaya, are you telling me that Shmuel holds that yadayim she'inan mochichot ave yadayim? That even It's getting all the way back to the beginning of the Nedarim and Nazir issues, right? That even something which is so ambivalent, I have no idea what you're talking about, because I don't know whether you mean you're Mekudesh to me or whether you're Mekudesh to somebody that asked me to be Mekudesh you. And nonetheless, we're assuming that she's Mekudesh to him because it's Yadayim? I mean, it could be that. It's sort of mashma that way. But what about the Mishnah back at the beginning of Nazir? If somebody says, hey, he's a Nazir. And the Gemara asks over there, what do you mean, hey, he's a Nazir? Maybe hey means I should be in a state of tainus tomorrow, you know? And Shmuel said, you know when hey works? Only if there was a Nazir walking right in front of him right then. And he says, ooh, I'll be. So then he obviously means, I'll be like that Nazir. So only, says Rav Papa, you see, only, Shmuel says, only because there's another Nazir walking there. But without that, we would say, I don't know what he means. So why over here does Shmuel say, well, I know what he means. He must mean, you are Mekudesh to me, even though he only said, I am Mekudesh. So isn't that a contradiction? Does Shmuel hold, you have to be less ambiguous or not? No, you misunderstood Shmuel. He didn't say Hareat Mekudeshet. He said Hareat Mekudeshet Li. Hareat Li Leintu. He wasn't coming to address the Li part. He was coming to address the implications of the language. Mu'ureset as opposed to Mekudeshet. Leintu as opposed. That's what he was coming to address. So then, Iochimai Kamashma, what's the Kiddush? The Kiddush is that these are all languages of Kiddushin. That Hani Lishne Batroi Kamashma. He's coming to tell me the last things that he said. To say, I am your husband, or I am not your husband. That's all ridiculous, because it says in the Torah, Ki yikach ish isha, not that he makes himself a husband, lo she yikach et atzmo to her. And when it comes to Gershon, it's the same thing. It says, Vishilcha, not to be Mishaleach himself from her, I am no longer your husband. That's a meaningless statement. That's all that Shmuel was coming to explain, the difference in the Mashma'uyot of who is coming or leaving from whom. Okay, Rabosai, thanks. Sorry. I don't know why I'm so slow. Is it the joy of Rosh Chodesh? Is it old age? Is it that maybe Zoom is going slower? I don't know. We'll try harder. Have a wonderful, wonderful Rosh Chodesh, and it should be a Chodesh of Oshias HaMecha. Uvareches nachal asechor imven asem ad olam. Finally, to see a gula shlema. Kol tov, everybody. Thank you so much.